Rod Francis is trying to tell me that Gord Miller is about to have a steak at 5. Wow. At 5:05 Central Time. There's no, was it the early bird special? Gord will be at the bar, and then eventually he'll get into that steak. Welcome back. Hour number 4, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Wow.
In the heat of the summer, better call up the plumber and turn on the street pump to cool me.
A reminder that legendary New York City rocker Garland Jeffries is finally coming back this way again on Friday night, May the 5th at Club Soda. Tickets available at Club Soda. You know Knuckles will be there. Friday, May the 5th, clubsoda.ca. With Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7. Mitch Garber will be joining us in about 30 minutes. And then the Impact. It's Oranges at halftime and then the Impact this week. So 2 full hours of Impact talk coming up with Noel Butler and Joey Alfieri. But right now, let's go to Minneapolis, St. Paul. And with us every Wednesday at this time from TSN, Gord Miller, how are you?
I'm good, sir. No, I'm not having dinner at 5 o'clock Central, for heaven's sakes.
Well, he told me, Rod here said, I said, where's Gord? He said, he's walking into a steak right now. That's what he said. That's exactly what he said, word for word.
Walking into a steak.
Yes, he didn't, either he didn't know that the second part of that phrase is house or what, but he didn't say. So you're walking.
Oh, sure, I've never walked into a steak. I would assume it, depending on how large the steak was, I guess.
Rod is turning red. He's walking into a steak. That's what you said.
He is in the U.S., and maybe it's some kind of, steak-eating contest where the piece of beef is big enough where you can actually walk into it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, good start. Good start here. So where are you having dinner, and is it St. Paul or Minneapolis?
St. Paul, the St. Paul Grill, right in the hotel.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Beautiful old hotel, great steakhouse. I don't eat steak as much as I used to, I must say. I've strayed from my Alberta roots.
Oh, yeah. You and Katie Lang. Remember those commercials?
Oh, no. Katie's a whole different fish. She's from Consort, which is sort of across the province where I'm from, but she did the Meat Stinks campaign. They took down the sign in Consort that said Home of Katie Lang.
I know. Yeah.
I used to watch her at the Sidetrack. It's true. I used to watch her at the Sidetrack Cafe in Edmonton in the early mid-80s. And she honestly believed that she was a reincarnation of Patsy Cline.
Yeah,
she
even made an album with her producer. What was Owen Bradley? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Incredible talent.
Yeah, she believed that she was actually Patsy Cline reincarnated.
Yeah, okay. Well, not quite Shirley MacLaine, but kind of like somewhere in between, right? Do you believe that you are somebody or used to be somebody else?
No.
Okay. Just want to get that out of the way and on the table.
Mitch, I think we clearly established I'm not superstitious. I'm not spiritual. I just am.
Yeah, and you like to gamble on sports.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were a gambling man, Gord, and we have established that you are.
Some people think that because if you find a level of success and you have an extended career in Montreal, which is a tough environment to play in, then that's almost something that's the foregone conclusion if you last here that long. But also you have to look at it from the perspective of Montreal is what are you comparing them against some of the guys that have gone in for Montreal?
There are many reasons. First of all, he's a great defenseman. He's not the flashier defenseman in the history of the game. Quite the opposite. And just for what he was able to do before and more after the huge injuries that could have kept him away from hockey.
François Gagnon on the morning show of RDS, of course, with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt, believes Andre Markov is a Hall of Famer. Aaron Ward does not believe that. I don't believe it. Gallo doesn't believe it. What do you think?
A really good player, but not a Hall of Famer for me. I think the problem for me is my Hall of Fame standard is pretty high.
Me too.
I think... I don't count Stanley Cups for Hall of Famers, and I think I've said this to you before. If you believe Stanley Cups are the measure of a player, then you think Marie Wilson was better than Doug, and Marie was a good player, but Doug was a superstar. For me, no Norris trophies, no individual awards, didn't lead the league in scoring for defensemen. I'm not sure there was ever a point where you would say that Andre Markov was one of the top five defensemen in the game, which is not to say he wasn't very good and hasn't been good for a long time. But for me, there has to be a point when you're one of the, at least one of the five best players at your position.
What he's doing this late in the season after being paired with Shea Weber is awfully impressive. There's no question about it. But if he was to go on and continue without much slippage for 2 or 3 years, I'd consider it again. But my instinct, I always go by my gut when you mention a name. And if I don't react right away, then I got to think about it, then I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. That's how I do it.
Which is not an insult, right? I mean, it's not an insult to say a guy's not a Hall of Fame player.
Go ahead, Gallo. Here, what are you laughing at?
No, I just find that funny that people will say, oh my God, can you believe they said that about Andrei Markov? Can you believe it? It's like the Hall of Fame is a very select group
of
people.
It should be. Yes, it should be. Yeah.
It should be more selective than it is, actually.
Yep. And you have said that to Michael Farber, right, and other members of the selection committee?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I have, yeah.
All right. So, how often did you hang out in Edmonton during the glory years?
What do you mean? Like, how often was I there? I mean, I was at every game.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah,
I've seen every game the Edmonton Oilers have ever played in the Stanley Cup Final.
Okay, so including the last time they were in after clinching last night was, of course, the Stanley Cup Final in 2006.
Yeah, I was there in 06, yeah.
Against Aaron Ward's Carolina Hurricanes, which won. This is a big deal. I don't know if the rest of the country can understand the emotion in Edmonton today. That's all.
Well, no, listen, this team didn't just miss the playoffs for 10 years. They were a smoking crater for seven of them. I mean, you know, the dysfunction, the rebuild after rebuild, proud franchise that really sunk to the bottom of the league. I think the emotion there is finally there's reason to have optimism. And I think that it's not just that they have Connor McDavid. I mean, that's a huge part of it, because there's lots of teams that have a good player that don't get anywhere. But there's a plan and there's direction, and that's what fans are looking for, right? Is if you're not selling the present, then at least sell me on a plan. And now there's the present, and there appears to be a plan. That's a huge thing.
Could you see any possibility this spring of a long run? Not necessarily what we saw 10 years ago.
I mean, tell me the team that you don't think will go on a long run in the playoffs. Tell me the team that you think, no, there's no way they'll go on a long run to the playoffs.
St. Louis. St. Louis not going on. No?
Went to the conference final last year.
Yeah, I know, but St. Louis went to the conference final last year.
All I'm saying is the teams are so close together. Most of these teams that will face each other in the playoffs are separated in the standings by one win a month.
Who was their goaltender last spring?
It was both Elliott and Allen.
Right. Yeah, Brian Elliott, right. See, we don't have much faith in Jake Allen here.
Okay, I because of Gallo, right?
Ah, Gord pays attention here. Yes.
Yeah, I believe that when the games are big,
your feelings on Jake Allen abundantly clear.
So you don't think Marty Brodeur can straighten this out, as it appears he has so far? You don't think he can keep this going?
And you know what? I don't find them that good. They were better last year, and they didn't win, than they are this year.
Yeah, but once the playoffs start, everything's out the window, right?
Right. So all I'm saying is there's no clear favorite. I think I've said this to you before, that if you want to take one team to win the cup, fine. You take them, and I'll take the next five in the overall standings, and I'm comfortable with my position.
All right. You don't think Toronto can go on a long run, do you?
Why not?
Because they're Toronto.
Well, I don't know. Did you think they'd make the playoffs this year?
Gallo actually believed that they were a bubble team. That's why he made this rooster suit bet.
So, all I'm saying is, in this era, no one is decidedly better than someone else. That you don't have the mismatches you used to have. So I wouldn't count anybody out. I think the deal is now get to the playoffs and see where the cards fall.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I really believe I will write off whoever plays Washington in round one. Whoever gets in on the bubble there.
So So you're putting all your chips on the Washington Capitals in the playoffs, are you, Mitch?
Just round one. Just round one.
For the last 20 years?
Just round one, because it's going to be either the Islanders or the Bruins, maybe Tampa.
I'll tell you what, okay. Steven Stamkos is now day-to-day, and if the Tampa Bay Lightning gets Steven Stamkos back for a first-round matchup with the Capitals, I would be surprised but not shocked if the Capitals lost.
People laughed at the Sharks like Gord just laughed at the Capitals, so I'll stick with them.
I'm not laughing at the Capitals. I'm laughing at you, Mitch.
You ain't the first.
Hey, listen. I think Washington one of these years is going to break through and go and get back to the final and maybe win it, because you've got. I mean, look, they're too good a team not to. It's just really hard now. There's just you don't have the super teams like you used to have, and so I can't say anyone is a prohibitive favorite over someone else. I just can't.
So. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. Who do you feel is best prepared, or whose path to victory in a game is best conducive to winning in the playoffs?
Anaheim.
Huh. And you know what's interesting about how Anaheim has gone to the top of the division, in addition to San Jose kind of falling apart here, is that their number one goalie has been hurt, and Jonathan Bernier has really played well for them.
Yeah, I just think that Anaheim is so deep at forward right now. They won't be after this year, but they go three lines deep, and that's really hard to find. Their defense is better than people think, and I just think that they're a very good team. I think they're among the teams that I think is primed to go for a long run.
So, I know how you feel about the Canadiens' defense, but based on what you said about Anaheim's forward, would that be a fatal flaw for Montreal then?
Well, listen, every team has holes. We've talked about this. Yeah. Anaheim's hole would be depth on defense. Montreal's would be down the middle. Washington, I just the thing with Washington is they're so good defensively, but the problem is for whatever reason in the playoffs, they don't score. Their goals per game in the playoffs is down about a goal a game from the regular season the last couple of years. They score about 3.5 goals in the regular season and 2.5 in the playoffs. And that's been their undoing. Braden Holtby's been great. He's got the best save percentage over the last two playoff years of any goaltender in the league. The problem is they've scored one or no goals in nearly half the games he's played.
Here's another example of why, when you said why not to Toronto,
I started to just hate going there. Like, there was a level of arrogance, or there's an air and an attitude. And I love the people of Toronto. I just don't like them when they get to be, you know, honest about their team. Because there is a fantasy land that they live in. I mean, it's an artificial world when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Aaron Ward, which was part of a discussion involving Mike Babcock and free agents and not playing for him and the hype and the hoopla and Austin Matthews and all of that. That was a little snippet.
Yeah, there's a lot of arrogance that goes around in a lot of places. Let's be honest. Everyone thinks their team is great, and when their player gets slashed, they think it's the worst thing ever. But when their player does it, they think it's no big deal. I would say to you, and I say this with all due respect to Montreal, that this is the team that once sent out the city once sent out a release that the parade would follow the usual route.
Yes, that was Mayor Drapeau did that.
Yeah,
yes.
So perhaps we should hold off on calling anyone arrogant. I think every team's fan base probably has a strain of arrogance to it.
Yeah, but we had it. We actually earned our arrogance back in the 70s, right?
Well, I think it's possible to be successful and not be arrogant. It's actually an admirable skill.
How do you pull that off, Gord?
I don't know. It's a balance every day. I don't see people in Toronto saying after three wins, plan the parade. I don't see that. What I find really fascinating in a larger sense is that you love Montreal, right?
I love the city of Montreal. I love the city, yes.
Right. My friends in Vancouver love Vancouver. And they proudly proclaim it. If someone says, I love Toronto, oh, you're so arrogant. Why?
No, you know how this started? Because, and to be fair, it's out of context. You didn't hear the whole conversation. Is that 2 weeks ago, and you're on top of this, so you know, 2 weeks ago, I don't know if it's a campaign, but certainly People started openly discussing Mike Babcock as a possible Jack Adams winner should the Leafs get into the playoffs.
Right.
And, you know, I would say, and here they are, they're not hanging in, they are in, they would collapse to get out at this point, that I can understand people maybe giving him a third place vote or whatever the case may be, but not winning it.
Well, I would say this. I mean, if you're talking about what a coach has done, he's made Nazem Kadri a player. I mean, that's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He's got six rookies in his lineup most nights. They've gone from last in the league to probably a playoff team. Why does no one talk about Joel Quenneville as the coach of the
year?
Well,
that's how we wrapped up the conversation. Yeah.
Like really. I mean, you look at that team, the turnover they have every year. He's had six rookies in his lineup most of the season. They've had injuries to top players, and they are just so consistent. And I know that the Coach of the Year award tends to go to the team that has the most improvement. And I vote for this, so I will say this. I tend to deduct points for a coach in his first year with his team, because I think that's the easiest year for a coach. You're a fresh voice. It's a clean slate. I tend to think that that's the easiest year. So I tend to deduct points for a coach in his first year with his team. For me, it's Tortorella, Quenneville, Babcock's in that conversation for sure. Absolutely.
Block. In comes CeCe. Two flyers fall. CeCe sends it back. Turris shoots, scores! Kyle Turris, the go-ahead goal! As Ottawa takes a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, but the Flyers caught him and then won the game in a shootout last night. And coming off those three straight losses to the Montreal Canadiens, so there's a little bit of a gap now between the Canadiens and the Senators. Where do you see them here down, you know, on some nights? Like the game that the third consecutive game the Canadiens won, there were moments for Ottawa that you looked, that they were out playing the Canadiens. But then at the end of the game, it's like, okay, who really impressed me on the Senators today? And I couldn't name anybody.
Yeah, so they are really an example of a team that is greater than the sum of the parts. They essentially have six second-line forwards, when you think about it. They have a superstar defenseman, and it drops off pretty quickly after that. But they are an amazing team in that they just seem to get the most out of everybody. So you're right. You walk out of the building and say, yeah, like, they don't seem that good. And yet, here they are, you know, comfortably at a playoff spot for now. And so it's really impressive. Mark Stone, Zach Smith, Kyle Turris, Mike Hoffman, those guys they just grind. They just grind away and they find a way. So I think that makes them a hard matchup for some teams. And the fact is that Erik Karlsson is such an extraordinary player. I mean, night in and night out, just such an extraordinary player. And I don't know if people in Ottawa really appreciate it. I don't know if they do or not, but he really is something to behold. I mean, his skating, his offensive instincts, everything about him, his flair, he's an extraordinary player.
So what do you have with your steak? I'm just curious. What are your sides? Like steamed veggies, mashed potatoes, baked potato? What do you have? Fries?
Usually like asparagus. I like asparagus.
Yep.
I tend to stay away from the starches, so I kind of keep it pretty simple.
Yeah. All right. Have you got good company tonight, or is it just you watching a game?
Well, I'm going to go for dinner with a couple of players, actually.
Oh, listen to this. Anybody we know?
Yeah, I'm assuming you follow the league. I'm assuming you know all of them.
No, but I mean personally. Like, you know, there's that kid on the fence for Minnesota named Marco Scandella that, you know, a lot of Montrealers really like.
Yeah, what a great kid too. I really like Marco. He's a good player, and he had so much, not tough luck, it's worse than that, adversity early in his career, injuries, then his father passing away, and he's just a great kid.
Yep.
But no, it'll be Ottawa players. They're staying here at the hotel.
Oh, I got you. Okay, well.
I've been having an ongoing labor discussion with NHL players.
About a looming lockout?
And I made a comment on the radio in Toronto the other day that if escrow is the beach the players want to die on, it'll be a grisly, horrible death. And I've been getting a lot of abuse from players about it, so I'm having these conversations with players about why they're too fixated on escrow.
All right. So it's kind of like damage control to what you said, right?
No, not damage control at all. I'm happy to defend my position and have a discussion with them about why I feel that way. Hmm.
And they're receptive to this?
Yeah.
Are you gunning for Donald Fehr's job?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer.
Do you have to be a lawyer?
Yes.
You have to be a lawyer to be the head of the Players Association.
I don't know any head of any Players Association who wasn't.
Hmm.
I guess, well, the football guy, right, was a former player.
Yeah, that's the CFL guy.
Gene Upshaw. And then, who is it now?
Well, it's DeMora Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
think. But, I mean, baseball, basketball, hockey's always been lawyers.
Yeah. Well, you know what Shakespeare said.
No, I have no interest.
You got me on a bad day talking about lawyers, Gord. So enjoy. Well, we won't discuss it any further on the air. So have a great week.
Hold on. How come I have to talk about who I'm going for dinner with, who I bet on? I have to lay my life open to you.
It's my show.
I ask you one question, you won't answer.
It's my show.
Yeah. That's all you got for me?
That's all. Just the Shakespeare quote. That's enough.
Okay.
Have a great night.
You too.
And a great week. Gord Miller. That's a steak song you got? That's a rib song. That's a rub song, actually. Rubs, American Barbecue. That's a rub song. You know who that is? Her name is Wendy Renee, R-E-N-E. We're coming right back.
There's nothing like the feeling of safety when you're inside a 2017 Subaru Outback. It's like putting your jewelry into a safe that can only be opened with a 25-digit combination, along with a laser surveillance system, a couple of big dogs, and a few ninjas. With its legendary all-wheel drive and optional eyesight system, the 2017 Subaru Outback is a crossover SUV that is truly safe. Come test drive it today, starting at $29,785. For more details, visit quebecsubaru.ca. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Globex 2000, Montreal's currency experts, with 6 locations, competitive foreign exchange rates, and a buyback.